Today's scripture is Ecclesiastes chapter 11, 9, verses 9 and 10. You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless.
Thanks, Matthew. It's a good scripture for someone young to read. In a moment, we're going to be getting right to that in Ecclesiastes, talking about youth and age today. We'll get to that in just a moment. Just do want to say welcome to those who are visiting with us today. We're thankful that you've come our way, and we always hope and pray that when we come together, everyone who's here has a chance to worship God and to remember the sacrifice of our Lord and spend some time in His Word. Find some direction and encouragement for all of us as we open the Word together. Our men's retreat's coming up. Tim mentioned that. Paradise Valley is much more like paradise than it was last year because some new improvements that have taken place, but we're looking forward to going out. And if brothers that are here today, if you haven't thought about it yet or made a decision, come and just check with us. We're going to be making arrangements for rides here after the close today. Come and find out a little about it. And please, if finances are a consideration, don't worry about that. Things are will be taken care of. Things are covered. We just want to make sure every brother who would like to come will come and enjoy a time together about being strong in the Lord, just being men of God and strong together. It's always a good time. You know, just the time in the Word, the time in prayer, all of those things are wonderful, time in worship, and it's just something else, too, about being together and just having some downtime and time as brothers and talking and enjoying each other. It's really a good time and in a lot of different ways, so I hope you can come and be a part of that. Today's sermon title is Youth, Wasted on the Young. Obviously, a sermon title devised by an older person, and that would be me. I have proof that I'm older. I have my AARP card in my wallet. I have my Medicare, my proud Medicare card in my wallet, but I found out that I typically don't need that kind of proof. Nobody really doubts me anymore. I've been getting the senior discount at the movie theaters for a long time, and I don't complain. I've never complained about getting a discount too early, which tells you a little bit about how cheap I am. But, you know, I came across some quotes this week about being old, and the first one I thought, how true this is, apparently attributed to Oliver Wendell Holmes, who said, old age is always 15 years older than I am. And isn't that true? I mean, when I was a kid, you know, somebody in their 30s or 40s, that was like old, you know, and it's like now, there's probably almost like nobody that's actually old to me anymore, but that's so true. It's always that next generation. When Ronald Reagan became president, you know, age was kind of an issue, and he talked about taking naps and things, and he said to the press one day, I've left orders to be awakened at any time during a national emergency, even if I'm in a cabinet meeting. And just thinking, boy, don't you miss some of the humor of the old days. Another for older folks, forget the health food, I need all the preservatives I can get. When you fall down, you wonder what else you can do while you're down there. Look under that. I wish that weren't true. It's so true. Look under the couch. You just look under there. While I'm down here, I'll just go ahead and fish that out. Time may be a great healer, but it's a lousy beautician. Oh boy, that's a tough one. Wisdom doesn't necessarily come with age. Sometimes age just shows up all by itself. That's true. And as you get older, three things happen. The first is that your memory goes. For the life of me, I can't remember the other two, but you all know about that. The Bible says this about it, though. The glory of young men is their strength, gray hair the splendor of old. That's a true statement. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29. And I think we're especially drawn to that first line. In our culture, we think of the youth, the vigor, the strength, the power, the energy of people who are young. I think in our culture, though the second line is true, we probably struggle a little more in materialistic culture, Western secular culture to think about gray hair being the splendor of the old, because there's always this tendency to not look old, to not want to get old or to be old, and to do this to your hair, to get this procedure done, or to get, you know, all those infomercials that come on late at night. I've never seen one on how to look older. It's always about how to look younger. And somehow if you look younger, it's like, you know, you think about it and it's like, you know, you really aren't any younger. Even if you look younger, it's amazing how we have that. But I think in our culture, not to get too serious here, but it's like in the secular culture, when you get, the older you get, the closer you are to being dead, and the closer, that's irrelevant and marginalized. And so we don't want to be, we don't want to get there. So we want to be younger. There are cultures, of course, where age is looked at much more like in the biblical model here, of the splendor of old age, the splendor of gray hair. I've mentioned more than one occasion that the term old man in Swahili is a term of endearment and respect. When you call someone mzee, that's saying, yes, you're an old, that means literally old man. It is a term of respect, a term of reverence. And in African cultures and a lot of cultures, being older is really seen as occupying a very important place in society. Certainly that reverence is in Scripture. Leviticus 19:32, rise in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God, I am the Lord. It's amazing here, isn't it, how reverence for the older people, respect for the elderly, is tied right in to understanding who God is and revering God. And it's almost, you see a relationship here between one who honors the God of Israel is a person who's going to honor those that are older among them. And yet, with all of this kind of talk, we know that for generations, for millennia, there have been clashes between generations, generation gaps, we call them, where the younger people sometimes look to older folks and have this kind of stereotype that, well, those, you know, the older people, they're not respected, they don't appreciate them, they, old people are stuck in the past. They can't deal with change. They always say no. They never see anything good that's coming out of something new. They hold back progress. They're clueless in regards to what life is all about today. And they have these stereotypes. And they work both ways. Older people look to the young and they say things like, they don't work as hard as we did. They don't appreciate things like we do. They don't have the same sense of loyalty to traditions and so forth. And you know, it's interesting to go back and read through history. People have been saying that for thousands of years about the generations. It's so important that when it comes to the church, that we break down any such stereotype, that we expel it from our thinking and don't view each other through those patterns. But what does the teacher say about old age and about youth? Tim asked the question, is it better to be young or old? I would think some older people kind of chuckling to that question. I'm not sure if it was or not, but the teacher has something to say about age and youth both. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, he is actually addressing young people. He says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you say, I find no pleasure in them. Well, the days of trouble, he's talking about here, the days of old age. He's saying everything is fine right now, and this is a day for you to remember your Creator, because things aren't always going to be this way. Your life is going to change drastically. And the description that follows, beginning at verse 2, these metaphors and these descriptions, it doesn't take much of a poet to decipher what he's saying about the aging process. But this is what he says about getting older. To remember your Creator before this happens, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors are closed to the street and the sound of grinding fades, when men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint, when men are afraid of heights and dangers in the street, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along, and desire is no longer stirred. Then man goes to his eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. Remember him. Before the silver cord is severed, or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. I'll tell you, he didn't invent this phrase, but I've heard it, and it kind of goes along with Ecclesiastes 12. Old age is not for wimps. Old age is not for sissies. This is a man who respects elderly folks as he writes, but he doesn't sugarcoat it. He shoots pretty straight to the young person and says, look, the days are coming. The sun isn't going to be quite so bright as it is right now. Things aren't going to always be so cheery. The light's going to fade and the rain's going to come. And there are special challenges that you're going to face ahead in your life. And he goes through these descriptions, the keepers of the house trembling, maybe speaking of the arms and the legs growing weak and trembling, and strong men stoop. Man, that's already started with me. I'm not saying I'm a strong man, but I'm telling you, when I get done doing some task or some job, especially yard work, when I get up, I'm bent over for at least a half an hour. I mean, strong men stoop. Grinders cease because they're few. He's talking about people losing their teeth as they get older. Those who look through windows, it dims. People are losing their vision, their eyesight. As you get older, this is one of the things that can happen. He says doors are closed and sounds are fading. In other words, your hearing is beginning to go. And the irony of the old age that he talks about here is even though your hearing is gone, you wake up at the slightest sound and you can't go back to sleep. You can't sleep as long as you once did. And you don't want to go out anymore because you're afraid of what might happen if you leave your house. You're afraid that you might fall. You're afraid that you may be easy prey for some problem that comes along. And the almond tree blossoms, which is just saying your hair is turning white, and then you're this image of a grasshopper just trying to drag himself along and having no longer any physical desire. And then these four ultimate illustrations of ultimate demise. He's talking about death here. The cord snaps, the bowl is broken, the pitcher shatters, the wheel is broken at the well, and then you have a reversal of creation. The body goes back to the earth. The spirit goes back to God. In Ecclesiastes, we're not reading no eternal life here, are we? He's just seeing the reversal of creation. This is the way it started. There was the dust, and God put the spirit in it. At the end, the dust is going back, and the spirit's gone. And as far as the teacher is concerned, that is the end. No wonder we dye our hair and get sports cars and do all those things that we do. I mean, who wants this to happen to them? Who wants to experience this? You want to keep this? How do you square all of this talk about respect for the elderly and reverencing the old when you have such a graphic description of some of the difficulty to grow older? But we understand. That's just part of what happens in the aging process. But the Bible is very clear. To respect through life. Respect. The younger folks are to respect those who have journeyed this world, who have had such experiences, who have tasted nearly everything that life has to bring, from the good to the sorrowful. People who have navigated through life and they've survived it and they've gotten to this point. And they've raised their families and they've done their work or they've built their business and they've been serving the Lord. And the scriptures call on us to respect those who are older, to respect them especially for their faithfulness to God, for the life of faith that they've lived, and to recognize that even in times of physical decline, there can be spiritual strengthening that takes place simultaneously and sometimes even because of the physical decline. When the process of aging is met with faith and reliance upon God, even this process that we find to varying degrees painful or difficult can bring about spiritual growth. I remember my father-in-law's last couple of years. Now, my father-in-law did not die as an old man. My father-in-law was 4 years younger than I am right now when he passed away. And I'm not old. You have to be at least 15 years older than me to be old. But though it wasn't about old age, it was about coming toward the end of your life and being aware of that and going through pain and facing cancer and going through this decline. It was just accelerated in his case. And yet in that process, I don't know if I've ever seen someone so transformed in a brief period of time. Spiritual growth and maturity and patience and so many characteristics that just blossom in his last months, his last couple of years of life. Aging, and when it happens over a longer period of time, some of the most beautiful people we ever meet are the people who live faithfully to the end and who embody the Spirit of Christ in their lives, who are such an encouragement to us. And what we know that the teacher didn't know is that as we're moving toward that point, we aren't moving toward the end. We aren't moving toward meaninglessness. We're moving to fellowship with God that's eternal in nature, one that's already begun now in Christ. So our point of view is so much different than his. But he has something to say as well about the young. And though there's a great deal of respect here for the elderly, at the same time, youth is not despised by the teacher. Listen to what he says. And notice these verses, verses 7 through 10. This is the paragraph just before where I started reading a moment ago in chapter 12, verse 1. This is the beginning of it that goes through to chapter 12. And he says this to the young people: light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. But let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. Be happy, young man, while you're young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. For follow the ways of your heart, and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things God will bring you to judgment. So then banish anxiety from your heart, and cast off the troubles of your body. For youth and vigor are meaningless. I noticed kind of a back and forth here, but it's quite interesting what he has to say to the young. First of all, he tells them, enjoy life. Enjoy your life. You're young. Enjoy your life. And did you notice what he starts out by saying? Hey, light is sweet, isn't it? Isn't it great that the day is dawning? You're at the very beginning. Everything is bright. Everything is great. Enjoy it. Enjoy life is sweet. Because, by the way, darkness is coming, and the darkness lasts a whole lot longer than the light. And so he's kind of pointing them down the road. But he honestly calls for them to enjoy their life, to appreciate what they do have and in their youth, and to follow their heart. What a thing to say. He's saying to young people, he's saying, follow your heart. Do those things. Don't stifle your curiosity. You know, when you're young, those of you who are young, you know it. Those of us who are old, we can look back and we can remember it. You have some opportunities when you're young you're never going to have again. Appreciate that. Follow your heart. There's going to be some things you can do before you have certain responsibilities in your life, before there's certain, you know, you're perhaps married or have a family or have a job or whatever it is, not a job, but, you know, when you can't get away, enjoy life. Now, he says, I'm not talking here about sin. I'm not talking here about living a life of dissipation. I'm not saying, oh yeah, just have the, you know. He's saying, no, remember, God's your judge. God's watching these decisions that you make. This isn't a call to just go out and experience everything for the sake of experiencing. He's talking about employing wisdom and employing righteousness here and morality, but he's just pointing out that you have a time in your life before a lot of anxieties come your way, before you experience certain kinds of trouble that you're going to get soon enough, and you're not going to be young and strong forever. You may think so. But you probably only have to look down to the end of your bench and find somebody who once thought that about themselves too. It doesn't happen. We get older. Youth doesn't last forever. So what he's saying is, appreciate the unique blessings of youth and enjoy them, understanding your relationship with God as you make such decisions. And then his last little point is this: oh, by the way, youth and vigor are meaningless. So this isn't the meaning of life. It's not about, oh, I'm young, I've just, no. Youth and vigor are meaningless. That's not the meaning of life any more than just being old is the meaning of life. That's not the point. You don't try to hold on to your youth or to, that's just chasing after the wind. That's not what it's all about. But it is about recognizing at whatever point you are in your life, there are blessings to enjoy. And for the young, that's very true. When I was in college, I took a trip with a friend of mine. It was like we traveled the country for 8 weeks. We drove 14,000 miles. You know, we went through 39 states. I don't think my wife would appreciate it if I did that today. You know, unless I took her along, of course. But for me to run off for 8 weeks with a friend, you know, when you're young, you have some opportunities. I'm thinking of Cassie Duke, who's gone over to England to go to school for a period of time. There are things you can do. Sometimes when you're young, you're not going to have the opportunity. Enjoy that. But there are things that happen in every age of life. And it's important to recognize the value and blessing as well as the problems in each. I came across this photo this week. It was the best I could do to come up with four generations, from my dad to myself, my son-in-law David, and then Josiah, who would totally freak if he saw this photo, since he's nearly a teenager now. But you know, I look at this photograph, and I think of the blessings that my dad was enjoying at this moment in his life, and that I was as a grandpa, but having my dad there, and David, who's a new father, and of course this little new life that Josiah's not totally aware of his blessings at that point. But you know, at every point that you find yourself, it's a good time. There are blessings that you can't have at any other time in your life. There are also trials. You know, young people do have trials too. It's not just for those of us who are older. And when we see this and recognize this, especially in the church, it's like, you know, that old guy there, he's not some old coot, and the David some smart aleck young kid or whatever. You know, these are good people. And in the church we have such different ages, but we break through those stereotypes and we recognize the value of each generation, the blessings of being at every point in your life. And it's so true as you look back over your life, the blessings that come through each time. And I love to see this kind of what you see pictured here in four generations. That's what I love about the church. I love the fact that we live together as a family, from the young to the old, that we get to know one another, that we become part of each other's lives, that there are older folks here who reach out to the younger, and younger people who truly respect their elders and value their counsel and the friendship and the relationship that develops. I think of how much we need each other. I think of how much the younger people need the older people for wisdom and for stability and for those who have built things and those who have helped to bring about what exists today, to appreciate the good work they've done. And as one who's on that, certainly on that older side of this pendulum, how I love being around young people and seeing their enthusiasm for God and their longing to know the Word of God and to live it out, and the dreams and the idealism they have for their life. It thrills me to see younger people who love the Word of God, who are devoted to Christ, and to just consider what God's going to do through their life, not just now, but through the generations in which they live, and the importance of needing one another. Here's a generation or two in between. I suppose Ellen could be Cassidy's grandma in terms of age. But here's a relationship that started when Cassidy was born. And over the years, Ellen has been one of her teachers. There's a lot of people that could be in this photograph. It just happens to be, this was at our house Thursday night, so that's why you're seeing it. But I think of all the Bible classes that Cassidy went through from the time she was a little girl. And here she is. It's our house on Thursday night, because even though Cassidy has kind of left Treasure Hunters behind, our Sunday night memory work program, she's continued to study. because she has a love for the Word of God and a love to memorize it. And so she was at our house Thursday to complete her latest project, which was to memorize the Gospel of Mark. I think there's some of us sitting here who've never read through the Gospel of Mark in a sitting. And Cassidy recited it. It takes about 2.5 hours if you want to start working on that. This isn't for her glory or anything. This is about, I have a picture here of a relationship. The relationship between Miss Ellen and Cassidy. And not just them. Last couple of Thursdays, we have a sister here who is an amazing quilter, who can do anything with needle and thread and sew, and she makes the most amazing quilts. And for 2 Thursdays, she came down here on Thursday mornings to meet with our MOPS, Mother of Preschoolers, ladies, and some of whom I think maybe had never sewn before, because it's kind of a different time and a different age. And she was there to show them how to sew and how to even quilt and get them started. And I'm not going to mention Yvonne by name because I don't want to embarrass her, but I heard that the women just loved this. The younger women. Doesn't the Bible say something about that? I mean, maybe older women teaching the younger, and it's the same thing with men, but I think how awesome that was to see her working with these women, and then there they are with their little kids, and Yvonne, who has such experience in passing that along. Paul puts it this way when he talks to Timothy. You know, Timothy's young. I don't know how young. Timothy's an evangelist in Ephesus. I don't know, is he 20, 25? Is he late 20? I don't know, but he's in the congregational setting, he's somewhat young. He's timid about it. He has to be kind of encouraged in his ministry because of that. And I love what Paul says to him about how he is to relate within the church. He says to him, "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father." Timothy, those guys in the church who were like 45, 50, 55, maybe that, treat that man like he's your dad. Talk to him like you would talk to your father. Treat him with that kind of love and respect. And then treat the younger men as your brothers. And those older women in the church, when you talk to them, when you instruct them, I know you're feeling like they're so much older. Treat them like your mother. Show these women the respect that you would show your mother, and speak to them with that kind of, you know, that kind of demeanor. And those women that are your peers or that are younger than you, they're your sisters. Treat them with purity. Treat them with all purity. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. If Timothy needed this instruction as an older man, Paul would have been saying, "Timothy, look at those men. Those men are like your sons and your grandsons. When you correct them, when you talk to them, be thinking about your boys and your grandsons and talk to them that way. And when you see the, you know, it would just be reversed." The point is that in the church, we each find our lives enriched in the relationships that we have that cut across the generations and every age in the church, and to value that age and to value the youth and to have mutual love and respect and to care for one another. I want to ask you to do something today after the closing prayer. And guys, you can do it before you come up here to meet about the men's retreat. If you're younger, that's a very relative term. If you're younger, in this group, I'd say it's probably like under 50, but anyway, maybe 45. But if you're younger, if you think of yourself as younger, go find someone after the closing prayer that's older and just say hello to them. I've got a feeling, even in the size of group we are, that there are some of us here, if we look around, we see somebody, maybe you're younger, you look around and say, "I've never talked to that person over there in all my life. For one thing, they sit on the other side, and you know, the other thing, we're 40 years apart in age. I've never thought of anything to say to them." Today is your chance to have permission. Just go and say, "Hi, I'm," and just tell them your name. Just older folks, look today for someone who's younger than you. Just to go up and if nothing else, just to meet them, just to introduce yourself to them. And of course, if you know them, give them a hug or whatever. And do that with the kids that are here, the youngest of us. And be thinking about the ways we can reach out to one another and build these relationships. That's so vital in the church, especially as we move forward. We want to be unified. It's about appreciating each one. And I'd like for you to think about the very special opportunities we have to serve our elderly, because we have some folks who are at a stage in their life where they can't even be here today. They're home right now, and they want so much to be here, and they can't. And what a blessing it is when we go to see them, or when we call them, or when we send them a note. And the brothers that go on Sunday afternoon to take the Lord's Supper to those who would like to receive it but who can't be here when we assemble. What an important ministry in our church to truly value and respect the elderly. There are so many ways we can serve one another. And those of us who are older, maybe one of the ways that we serve the younger is by realizing, hey, I think we're supposed to be the spiritually mature, right? I mean, we're the old folks. And there are going to be some times where we can sacrifice our preferences, sacrifice what we like, sacrifice the way we would like to do it when it's just a matter of opinion, in order to allow some of the younger folks to be able to do things in their ways. When it comes to just the way we carry out business sometimes, or the way we carry out our work or our ministry, those of us who are older, we're in a position to act like those that are stronger and more mature in the faith, and to really be that kind of a blessing to our young folks. But here's the higher call for everybody. Remember your Creator. What good counsel out of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He says it in chapter 12, verse 1, and he says it again in verse 6. Remember your Creator. And he's talking to the youth, but you can't help if you're older to hear it at the same time. Those of you who are younger, remember who gives you your life. Remember who sustains you. Remember who will judge you. Honor your Creator. Honor your God. Honor your Father and the covenant that you've entered into with Him. So many of us growing up, we probably heard our dad say as we were going out on a Friday evening, remember who you are. That's just a way, in some families we communicated, remember who you're a part of. Remember your family name. Remember what we stand for. Remember, young people, who your Creator is. Remember who your Father is, how He calls you to live, your character, your morality, your holiness. The energy that you have, the creativity that you have, those are gifts from Him, and He wants you to use it in a way that will glorify Him. And to be thankful for what He has done for you. Use those things to His glory and honor and respect those that are older than you. And for those of us who are older, how important it is for us to remember our Creator. It's our Creator who gives us the strength to face some of the things we're going through today that we really wish we weren't going through. Some of those problems that come with aging, sometimes it's illness or pain. Sometimes it's going through some kind of treatment that we don't like. At times it's about caregiving and helping folks in our own families that are having difficulty with their own situations, and we become caregivers, and it's taxing, it's difficult. For some of us, it's a time in our life where we're having to give up some of our independence that we want to hold on to at all costs. It's God, your Creator, who gives you and I the strength to deal with these, to give us strength, to give us an attitude and a perspective of faith as we deal with all of these changes that come about in our life as our bodies may grow weaker. One of the saddest things is to see a young person who doesn't know the Lord. You know, just as you go about your life and you see a young person, and regardless of kind of where they are, what's going on, just to see a young person who's just living, doing their thing, striving after all those things under the sun that aren't going to amount to anything, eventually missing out on a relationship with God, not knowing their Creator, not having a deeper sense of who they are in relationship to this world and what God would call them to do, having no ultimate purpose, no ultimate identity beyond just the functions that have to take place in our world. How sad when you're young and you miss out on the essence of life for meaningless things that are pursued under the sun. And perhaps the only thing that's sadder than that is an older person who doesn't know the Lord, who hasn't lived for Him. Their hair is turning white, but they're not growing in godly wisdom, not given to reflection, to prayer. People who are closer to the grave, but in that movement are no closer to God. And that's where we come in as those young and old who've come to know our Creator. And to remember above all, as the teacher will tell us, regardless of your age, this is the answer. You fear God and keep His commandments. That's the whole of mankind. He's saying in Ecclesiastes 12:13, this is what it means to be a human being. This is the essence of life on earth. Know who God is. Revere your Creator. Love your Creator. Serve Him. Be obedient to Him. Submit your life to your Creator. Young or old, that's the answer. And we who know the Creator should look among our friends and the people that we associate with of every age and take every opportunity we have to tell them about their Creator and about their Savior Jesus and how their salvation through Him, how they can find direction for their life, forgiveness of their sin, knowing, coming to know the Heavenly Father through His Son that He sent for us, who died for us, who gave His blood for us. And as we come to faith in Him and turn from sin and are baptized into Christ, we come into a relationship with our Father, our Creator, that really is at the heart of life. That's the meaning of life, to serve God whatever age we are until the day that God calls us home. That's the meaning of life, young or old. Remember your Creator. Fear God. Keep His commandments. Serve Him. Give your life in ministry and in the church. Value every generation, every age, and work together as the family of God, not only as we come together to worship and praise Him, but as we work together to reach out to that family out there in the world of every age who doesn't know their Father, their Creator. Therein lies the meaning for our lives, whatever age. Let's be serving God and doing all we can to call people to Him. And if you're struggling with a problem of youth, with a temptation that you're facing, particularly because of where you are in your life as a young person, or today, among those of us that are older, if something's got you down today, I mean, if you're just really facing a difficult time, if that's something you want the church to know about and want to let us in on so that we can be a part of that and pray for you, please let us know. If you're here today and you've come wanting to make Christ your Lord and being obedient to the gospel, we encourage you to come. But may all of us, whatever our age today, make certain that we remember our Creator and that we serve Him with all our hearts. Let's stand together as we sing.